views and opinions expressed on the following podcast are those of the persons appearing on the program and not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Please note the interview featured on this edition of Club ADHD, the podcast, was recorded in mid-April 2020. Welcome to another edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I'm your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, saying welcome, welcome. Did I say welcome? The answer is yes. Club ADHD is proudly presented. I think they're proud about presenting it. Yeah, I'm sure they are. By the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, otherwise known as CADAC. Visit their website, cadac.ca, for a lot of information. And a gathering point, and a rallying point, and a place to go to find out, hey, what's CADAC doing for ADHD? The answer is a lot. Check it out. Doesn't matter if you're in Canada or not. There's a lot of information on there that I'm sure you'll find very, very helpful. That's cadac.ca. Club ADHD, the podcast, is part of a three-prong approach. We've got the podcast, we've got Club ADHD, the Facebook page, and the Twitter account. Visit clubadhd.ca for the links, as well as links to all of our podcasts. And of course, Club ADHD is for us, adults with ADHD. There, I've got the housework done here. It's all set, I think. We're all set now. So how are you? I hope the answer is just fine, thank you. And if not, hey, just hang in there. As for me, I don't know if you're feeling the same way, but I find it very difficult to get going doing certain tasks, including the podcast here, too. It's tough to just, you know, get going with all that stuff going on. And yes, we are to live our lives, as I often say, but even if we're, you know, handling it, deep down, there's something going on there, at least for me. It's tough to get going. And someone once said that, yeah, we've got all this available time at home. Even if you're working at home, you do have more available time, I would think, because you don't have to commute or worry about what to wear and all that stuff. But someone so aptly put it by saying that, yes, we have all this free time to do the stuff we always meant to do. We have the time. But for me, yeah, I've got the time. It's trying to inspire myself to do it. Are you going through the same thing? I don't know. Maybe it's a few things going on with me personally. I don't know. I lost, as I mentioned, a crown / tooth near the front of my mouth, and that's bothersome. Still looking for it. No luck. I won't get into that, though. But, yeah, it's different. It's a different time, and we just have to deal with it. But I'm looking at it this way. Hey, I'm recording the podcast right now. So, I got off of my hiney and got going. And I urge you to do the same if you have things that have to be done, but for some reason you can't get that engine started. Well, I had a very interesting day a few days ago. You never know who you'll meet when you talk to customer service. Oh boy, ain't it the truth? I was talking to a company, a representative of the company that hosts all of my websites. Not the podcast here, but the websites, including clubadhd.ca. And I had a question because I had a problem logging in. As I proceeded to tell my situation, the person on the other end of the line was responding with some things that I didn't feel were all that nice, or I took it wrong. He started mentioning about my radio voice and things along that line. And all of a sudden, I'm saying, where is this going? And I automatically put up a defense and said, maybe it's best that we stop the conversation right now. I'll talk to somebody else. And that person said, well, maybe so. But I didn't for some reason. And as I dug a little bit further, come to find out, the person on the other end of the phone line has ADHD. And what they were doing, they were looking at some of my sites and the Club ADHD site, and started listening to the previous podcast. And I didn't know any of this was going on, but that's what was happening. So he was responding, and he was telling me that he was responding in good faith, But if I don't know what the heck they're talking about and what they're responding to, it's easy to misinterpret, especially if I'm phoning about something dealing with the website and they're throwing some other stuff in my face. But I got to talking to this person, and come to find out, he was diagnosed several years ago. He's dealt with various things in his life, and we had a good conversation, nothing to do with the website, but I started putting on my coaching hat, and we talked, and I asked him, would you be interested in coming on the podcast? He said, yes. I said, I won't tell your name or where you work, whatever. And I gave him the email address. He already had it. I didn't hear from him. I didn't hear back. But it was just one of those things. It's so easy to be misunderstood. For him, he had his mind on something else, wasn't really focusing on what I was saying. Well, sort of. He was focusing on what I was saying in a podcast that I didn't realize he was listening to. And I just became puzzled. Now, to his credit, he was complimenting me about what he was hearing on the podcast, things I didn't know, and I was taking it the wrong way. So we were both misinterpreting each other. But then we finally figured out, hey, what's going on here? And we had an interesting conversation. So I wish him well, and that's my story. I'm sticking to it. You never know who you are going to meet. Now, bottom line, too, once we got over all the ADHD stuff, he did suggest a few things, and I looked at things, and, well, my problem was solved. So there we have it. And now here's another story about me reaching out to a company that is involved in this Club ADHD, the podcast. And I'm happy to report that it's a good story, a story worth mentioning. Now, as you've probably already figured out, I'm very passionate when it comes to our ADHD people, us, adults with ADHD and Club ADHD and everything that goes with it. So when a company and or individual goes way beyond what is expected when it comes to helping us, I say, thank you very much. Now, here's the story behind the story. I had something that came up that could pose a bit of a problem, or not a problem, a challenge. So as a result, I had to reach out to a company that hosts this very podcast. The company's name is Podiant. And the company came back with flying colors. Now, initially, I had to fill out a form and just state my case, whatever, what problem I needed solved and send it off. And as a result, I thought I was going to get a generic response, maybe from a robot or a customer service representative, but such was not the case. The person who responded was the owner of the company, and his name is Mike. And Mike, a round of applause, as I often do, for the people who deserve it, and you, my friend, deserve it. He got back to us. He solved everything. And I thought it was worth mentioning, because when somebody helps us, we people with ADHD, or helps anyone, and does so in a fashion that goes way beyond, and I say way beyond because these days, customer service, oh, it's not what it used to be, and we expect, well, at least I expect, subpar customer service. So when I receive above par customer service, I think it's worth mentioning, and that's why I'm saying this. It's not a paid ad. I just thought, hey, you're doing a great job there, Mike, and we appreciate it. So there we go. If you are thinking about putting together a podcast, you're going to need someone or a company that is going to host it. That's the right way to do it, because it comes with a whole bunch of other things that just gets too cumbersome. If you're in that situation where you're looking for a company to host your podcast, doesn't matter what kind of a podcast it is, I would urge you to check out Podiant, Podiant.com. I can speak from experience. They are the company to be with, in my humble opinion. As humble as I can get it. So once again, thank you, Mike. And we appreciate it here at Club ADHD, the podcast. And now let's go to another very important topic here on Club ADHD, the podcast. That topic is you. I hope you're doing well these days. If you're not, hang in there. Yes, we all know what it's like. And yes, sometimes what's going on outside, especially in this wild and wacky world, it can really get to us. And if you are in that position where you're just saying, why, and you're struggling, hey, reach out to someone. reach out to us. Reach out to your fellow Club ADHDers at Club ADHD, because we've got the Facebook page, we've got the Twitter account. Hop on there, jot down a few things, what's going on, the good, the bad, the ugly, and if we can help, we will. It's a proven fact. I've seen it happen on the Facebook page especially. Not only just me, but our fellow ADHDers. They are a wealth of knowledge because chances are they're probably well-versed in what you're going through. I can say this too, because yes, ADHD is a very broad spectrum, but we have commonalities, especially when it comes to challenges that we all can relate to. So if you're struggling, please reach out to us and reach out to family members if they're available or medical experts. It's all about not being afraid to ask for help. And if you're feeling good about yourself, if things are going great, hey, why not go on the Facebook page too and tell us? I'd love to read stories about people who are just getting on with life, especially in this coronavirus world of ours, right? It's always great to see somebody with a good story. And if you are that type of person who is able to get over those obstacles and you've got some terrific news, don't be afraid to tell us. You're not bragging. No. You are inspiring. So please let us know. And hey, let me know. Just visit clubadhd.ca for the links to the Twitter account, the Facebook page, and to me directly by way of email. Let me know too, and maybe we can get you on as a guest. You'll be the interviewee. If you're doing something that is worth noting, that you are fighting the good fight and you're achieving things, you're an inspiration and you deserve to be known. Your story deserves to be told. There, I said it, and I'll say it again. Now, what's up next? Oh, yes, it's time for our feature, our special feature on this Club ADHD, the podcast. And now it's time for the feature everyone is talking about. Well, at least I like to think so. Oh, it's tough being delusional. And now the snappy introduction on Club ADHD, the podcast. And now it's time for another edition of Club ADHD's TNT. Otherwise known as Tips and Tricks. Okay, your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, sitting in the coaching chair waiting to give you a bit of TNT, tips and tricks. And here's one I like to call writing the right. What's that about? Okay, hold on to your seats and I'll tell you. As many of you already know, we ADHDers like to go back in time. We have, I guess, a brain time machine that just can't help itself. It has to go back in time. And the time it goes back to are the times that we aren't too happy about. Maybe a time where someone wronged us or we wronged somebody else. A time we're not proud of, but we still keep going back. If we keep reliving this in our brain, things will change magically. The only thing that will change is your attitude. You'll just get upset, depressed, whatever. Okay, here's a solution. Now, this solution is not uncommon, and you might have already heard about it, but I'm adding an ADHD spin to it. So here it goes. Relive that moment that you can't help but relive. Go back in time. Feel the feelings. What would you do? Right, wrong, whatever. How would you change things? All right, go to your keyboard or grab a pen and paper if they still exist. And write down what you want to write down, how you would change things, how you want to address the people that were involved in this, the whole shebang. Write it down, get it out of your system. Now, I'm not saying send it to these people, no. As you probably already know, many people would say, okay, type it up, print it out, then toss it. Here comes my ADHD spin. Don't toss it, save it. And revisit it, maybe in a day's time. Give yourself some leeway there. Now, when you go back to it, approach it as if it's someone else, because after all, it's not in your brain right now, it's on paper or wherever. Read it, and then, hopefully, your creative ADHD mind will kick in, because, as you probably already know as well, many of us ADHDers can solve problems, especially if it involves someone else. Meanwhile, for us, if we're solving our own problem, that's a different situation. But because it's on paper and you're revisiting this a day later, you can maybe trick your brain into thinking that, hey, what I'm reading here is someone else's problem. And as a result, I think I have a solution how they can get over this. Actually, what you're doing is helping yourself. You're writing a right. R-I-G-H-T-I-N-G, a W-R-I-T-E. Writing it right. I hope it works for you. Give it a try. Let us know how it works, good, bad, or indifferent. I have the feeling it won't hurt. Hey, by the way, if you'd like to have a coaching session with moi, if you'd like me to help you out, perhaps, I've got my shingle hanging here. And as far as my rates, they are economical. I don't work for free, but it's nowhere near what some of the others might charge. If you'd like to learn more, hop on clubadhd.ca. Well, you don't have to hop on it. You can type it and hit the link that says email, and you will connect with me, and we'll arrange a session or two or three, whatever you want. And together, we will help you. There you have it. Today's tips and tricks. TNT on Club ADHD, the podcast. Up next, we're going across the pond to Newcastle, England, to check in with someone who's no stranger to Club ADHD. He's a member, and he's also been a guest on Club ADHD, the podcast. And he was so interesting, we had to have him back. He has his hands in so many communication things, all related to ADHD. You might know him through his Twitter account, his blog, and the charm about this man is that he's not afraid to talk about his ADHD. The good, the so-so, and the not-so-good. And with that, many people can identify with his ups and downs. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, from Newcastle, England. Here's Scott Laddie. Scott, how are you doing during these wild and wacky days?
I'm not doing too bad, Russ, thank you. It's been intense. It's been quite kind of dramatic in cases. I did actually end the relationship I had with my wife, who is now soon to be my ex-wife, in September. So there's been a lot of things that have been going on. It's hard, isn't it? Because you go from one thing to another, and you're trying to keep up with the world. And it's your brain is just going around and around circles. And I'll be completely honest with you, I was just struggling, really, really struggling with my mental health. Right. I didn't really know what the hell was going on. And I was struggling with like the co-parenting side of the ending of that relationship, and I had to move into a new flat, which, if I'm honest, I didn't really like. But it was kind of, if I didn't have the money to give a deposit, et cetera, then I had to take what I could get.
I have to ask, did ADHD have any impact on what happened with your relationship?
Very much so. Very much so. I don't want to blame ADHD. I do have to take some responsibility for it. But at the same time, my impulsivity was a big issue. To be totally honest with you, it was the fact that I don't think she really understood what ADHD is and how it impacted on my life. She thought it was just that I had mood swings and at the time the tablet was on, it was something that that happened.
Yeah.
But I'm on a different tablet now. So yeah, it's ADHD basically. It was one of those things that if you don't understand it, and I was trying to get to understand it, it did have a big impact.
And for those of you who don't follow you on Twitter, I mean, you're open about your life, good or bad, ups and downs.
Try to be.
Which can be healthy and can be a problem if somebody sees that too. I mean, you have to really weigh it out. But with all this going on and what everything that's going on in the world as far as a pandemic, and you hear about Europe and England and Italy, you're just moving right along, so it seems.
It seems that way. Inside my mind, it's not. Like I said, I've been struggling big time, but I was very fortunate. I met someone called Lisa, who is actually a qualified counselor and is looking to get assessed for ADHD as well. But we've just seemed to click. And I've just literally since moved from the flat to a house with three kids. So one's going through an assessment to get diagnosed if it's potentially ADHD, and one who is diagnosed ADHD with autism as well, with other medical underlying issues. But it's been great so far. I mean, there have been some pitfalls, but overall, I can't really say anything bad about it. It's I feel like I belong. So, but yeah, I don't always give everything away because I don't want to. I like to spin the negatives into a positive, if and where I can, or if I go quiet.
Yeah.
It's because I'm on Facebook or...
Well, yeah, I've seen that too. But I mean, that's part of your charm, if you want to call it that. I mean, you have a lot of followers and I'm one of them and you follow us. It's pretty easy to see where you're at. And if we don't see Scott doing any posting, you put one and one together. And if you're like me, it comes up with four.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. I do wear my heart on my sleeve. And I think it's just because of, you know, if I really believe in something, you know me very well, that I will push it as far as I can. I'll try and find a twist into it, and I'll keep doing what I can. I don't post as many vlogs as I used to, but I now try to do a bit more, as in the promotion for the up and coming charity that I'm helping to develop, and also with other stuff. Yeah, I try and not. It's a burnout when you do the vlogs and stuff, and you're trying to stay relevant. You're trying to stay mm-hmm. within people's mindset. I don't want to be repetitive, because I know how boring that is. So if I can stay relevant a little bit, then, you know, I can keep people, one, entertained, and two, informed, and still keep being one of those peeps that people can rely on and go to.
But you have to remember, I mean, repetitive, that's part of our, well, makeup as far as ADHD people, so people can identify with that.
It's very true. It's weird because I don't like repetition when it's verbal. If unless you're asking me to do something, I will probably need that repetition. I'll need to be prompted or reminded, but it's something I struggle with. If I'm interested in it, then that's fine. If I'm not interested in it, stop saying it. I don't like it.
So with that, I have to ask, the last time we spoke, you had a lot of things on your plate, a lot of things in the fire. Where are they? Have they burnt out? Are they blossoming, or are they just standing still?
The film Misunderstood, I'm still hoping to get that produced. I've got to unfortunately wait for another film that was used from the original script and made into something called Clouds. That, I understand, is still being finalized and packaged, and I'm hoping it's going to be done by this summer. The guy himself, I think he said he has ADHD, so... Once that's released, then we can watch it, and then the film company, Roundhouse Pictures, will then decide whether it's too similar or if we can carry on, because I think they still want to do it, from what I'm assuming. However, if they decide that they don't want to do it, I'm going to pursue other areas. I'm going to pursue other people, because it has to be done, and I will not give up on it.
And for those who aren't familiar with the premise, just give us a quick update or just what is it all about in a nutshell?
In a nutshell, basically, it's a kid that was a bit like myself. He's struggling with his life, and he finds out that someone very close to him, very dear to him, has died. And he's then forced to revisit his demons, as in the family, the people that he thought were closest to. There's a lot of sort of subtle links, subtle messages within that, within the script, which still has to be tweaked quite a bit, apparently. And then at the end of it, I have to remind myself, because I've been keep meaning to read the script or reread the script, and I haven't got around to it.
Okay. Hey, we can read.
Yeah, exactly. So it still needs tweaking. It will still need a few bits and pieces to be changed a bit, but... The aim of that, again, is to show as many sides to it. So like the inattentive ADHD, which I can be quite often, especially with this lockdown, the hyper side of it that can buy. And as many areas as we can, really, not just ADHD, but, you know, there's the autistic traits. He doesn't give eye contact too much. He gets angry. He gets frustrated, but then there's some very warm moments and a little bit of comedy in as well, but not too much.
Now, speaking of the lockdown, how are you handling that?
Oh, I'm climbing the walls.
Yeah.
it's okay. I mean, depends on what day. I mean, I'm trying to take one day at a time because it's there's a lot of energy within this household. There's a young man called Graham who's sitting right beside me now, who is actually been waiting to be assessed for ADHD,
uh-huh.
And maybe even ODD as well. He's a lovely, lovely kid, but he's got a bundle of energy. And if I tell him to sit still, he can't do that. I don't know if you heard him just there. But he's an amazing, amazing little boy. He's only 11, and he's gone through a lot of trauma, which is horrible. And I'm kind of working with him, and I've totally forgot the question again.
Well, here's another question. Do you see a bit of you in him?
Yes, very much so. Yes, it's kind of right. It's like looking at a mirror image, because as a kid, I was so energetic. I would just jump literally from one thing to another. I could not sit still. I would be very, very argumentative. Even my mum said that just recently when she had a conversation with my new girlfriend, Lisa. She said that she thought I was a naughty kid, you know, because I was probably quite aggressive in some ways, verbally, maybe possibly physically, because I was being, you know, I was trying to defend myself. And so is he. And I don't think he knows or understands how to regulate his emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So within the interview that myself and Lisa did with the BBC over
I was going to ask you about that. What was that all about and how did that come about? I'm curious.
Yeah, so basically the BBC approached, I can't remember how exactly how it worked, but I got talking to this guy called Martin Lindsay. He's a reporter. And he approached me, and he was asking if I could help him with an ADHD piece that they're trying to do. So what is it like to live with ADHD? Also the lack of services that we have, the impact of that, and the impact of being late diagnosed. So it was nothing to do with my film, which is good, because that does not be an end all. So we were doing that, and they were building up a documentary, which is still happening. And then obviously lockdown happened. And then when that was announced, I was actually here, where I'm sitting right now, at that time. So I've been literally living here for the whole time. So he then came about. Sorry, I babble.
No, it's okay. We understand. You're among friends.
I know. Thank you. So yeah, he then asked and said, "Well, would you guys be prepared to do an interview on the telephone?" We recorded it on my phone. I sent it to him, and it was all about basically being on lockdown with having ADHD. And they knew that the appointment that Graham was going to have was cancelled, and on that appointment, and it was quite likely that he was going to be diagnosed. Whether that was going to be with ADHD or not, I don't know. Quite likely. So yeah, he's still waiting, and he's still a bundle of energy sitting by me right now. Bless him. My head. I have an issue with voice sensory, and whatever's going on around me, I can't filter it.
Yeah.
And it's so hard. And my brain just goes.
But you know what, Scott? With this lockdown, I've said this, and I think there's good and bad in it. Suddenly, normal, you know, quote, end quote, normal people are discovering what it's like to have an ADHD brain, because they're confused.
Exactly.
They don't know what's going on. They're out of the loop, and they just feel helpless. Welcome to the club.
Exactly. John, you make a really good point, and I was talking to some people about this. The fact that when people can't go out, their normal routine is to go out, do the shopping, do whatever it is they're going to do, family, friends, blah, 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 and they can't do that.
Right.
Now, for us ADHDers, whether we're inattentive, combined, or hyper, especially if you're hyper, and you can't do what you're necessarily wanting to do, you've got to change that routine.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to change that structure of your day. And all of a sudden, they're in the mindset of what the hell is going on.
Right.
And this is what I've been talking about on Facebook and a little bit of Twitter as well, of saying, you know, if you are struggling, then, you know, speak up, because the one thing you don't want to be doing is holding all that emotion in,
right,
and that intensive, that frustration it can get really intense. And when you're not used to that, it's an unfamiliar feeling, I think, which does need to come out. Well, it is difficult.
Scott, I want to give you a round of applause, because for those of you who don't know, Scott was the person who got me involved with a certain politician in Scotland. And we had a great interview, and I told him about you. And it's so great that there's somebody in some form of power that is acknowledging their ADHD and isn't afraid to go out and talk about it.
Yeah.
And that's Daniel Johnson, by the way.
He's an amazing guy. I've never met him. I would like to.
I told him about you. He said, you look up. You told me all about him. You almost put him on a pedestal, and rightfully so. And with that, I think it's one step closer, and it was great to know him. And he was going to come over here in North America, actually in my hometown of Boston. He was supposed to be here this month, but of course, with the lockdown, he's not here. But what you're doing, I mean, it might seem as if that, you know, am I keeping people happy and whatever? I'm honestly saying this, and the things that you find in your head seems to be mixed up, but your intentions are pure, and you are helping people. You are helping people.
I'll be honest, it's nice to be reminded, because I sometimes forget. I get lots of followers on, you know, a number of days, and I don't know who they are. Sometimes they interact with me, sometimes they don't, and it's fine if they don't, you know, as long as I'm doing something for them. I really like the fact that, you know, Daniel Johnson did take part, because one, he's someone who's in a position that he can do things to make changes for people that really need it in his area. And for him to respond and want to take part, and obviously want to come across, and I'm sure he will do, that is incredible.
Yeah, it wasn't a problem at all. And he's more than willing to help other people in his situation, being in any type of government, wherever in the world. Wow. He's willing to sit down and talk with them.
Wow, that's really cool. I mean, I think I should listen to that podcast, actually.
Yeah, what? You haven't listened to that podcast? You're the guy who started it. I'm going to take back that round of I can't take back that round of applause. It just doesn't work.
Sorry. Inattentive.
Well, you know, we're all there. But I've seen you online, and I've often wondered, you know, again, when we don't hear from you, and all of a sudden you've got all these new things happening. And I just had to wonder, how's Scott doing with all this lockdown situation? Especially, we look at England or Britain or the UK or even Europe as being a couple of weeks ahead of us when it comes to the pandemic, because it took a little while to get over here. And sometimes we hear some of the outrageous news that it's all bad, 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 bad. It's almost like, oh, you know, Europe's done for.
Yeah.
I mean, with your, you know, political members and prime minister and all that stuff, it's bad, I would have to think, but it's not a catastrophe. Yeah. Would you call it that?
I don't know. See, I think when you're, my ex is, she works as a healthcare in the hospital. So she's seeing it like on the front line. She's seeing it on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And I don't. I only see what what the media chooses to feed us.
Sure.
We don't see the success stories, the people that have have been affected by it and got over it. Potentially, I might have had it. I think it is a bad thing. I do think it's something that they knew about quite some time ago. I remember seeing a video just recently that President Obama said that, you know, there is going to be this virus and we need to be preparing for it. Personally, without being too political, I don't think things have been dealt very well. So one over here, because our PPE equipment, which is the masks and
the same thing. Yeah,
it's absolutely crazy, and so many people are losing their lives because of it.
Yeah,
simply because of poor management or poor planning. You know, I did honestly think that we were going to lose Boris Johnson.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, but
and again, he's still a human being. So
yeah.
If he did lose his life, my word, what the hell would have happened? But they're still having the question that, you know, the numbers, the statistics, put teeth back in, that there isn't anything that's clear. And our media are very good at pushing. And sure. I think our government people are rubbish, absolutely rubbish at answering questions without dithering. And it's quite annoying. So, yeah, I mean, it's even when you go shopping. Yeah, when you go shopping, you've got to get the 2 meter social distance.
Mm-hmm.
I find that really stressful.
Oh, you and me both.
I mean, I find shopping stressful in the first place for sensory issues, but, you know, having to be aware of where other people are going, And, you know, just the other day, people were literally forgetting that 2 meters is not right. a meter and a half. It's not a meter. It's not half a meter. Get back. And I actually had to speak up to someone and said, "Oi, social distancing, mate." And he looked at me as if I'd, you know, yeah. done something really bad. But I said, "No, no, you don't need to be affecting my life. I'm not impacting on your life."
Sure.
And it kind of went off.
I feel the same way. I mean, it's not about me as far as not knowing what I'm supposed to do. I'm so concerned with the other people not knowing and coming up to me. That's what really bums me out or gets me going. Oh, I didn't think it would be a problem, but I got back from shopping after, you know, 4 or 5 days in the house yesterday. Yeah. And I was like,
it's hard. It is hard. And that's just one of those things that, if I'm honest, it really is a pet peeve. And I don't know whether it's an autistic trait, but I'm very literal. So with it being 2 meters, I can approximate how far 2 meters is from me. And when people come up a little bit further, I'm like, whoa, get back.
Yeah.
And it's just, it becomes hypersensitive, and that's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's absolutely exhausting. So then you're obviously you're not really supposed to touch anything unless you're going to buy it. And then you've got to think of how many items you're allowed. I think it's 3 of that item, so that because people have been going crazy, panic buying toilet tissue.
Well, I've got to ask you, do you have toilet tissue? Are you okay
with
that?
We do.
Oh, good.
We do.
Round of applause.
Okay. But if you don't, I can send some over.
We're trying to get some from Cuba. We used to go down there and give them toilet
Cuba?
Paper.
Oh, my God.
No, it was a joke. Now, I have to ask, you just triggered something in my mind that happens to me. When you see something or somebody doing something wrong, do you have an impulse in correcting them? I do at times, especially if I got caught doing it years ago and I got condemned. And all of a sudden, I see somebody doing the same thing, and I'm like, oh, I can't. They get caught.
Yes.
Do you have that feeling?
Yeah. Most of the time, I can sometimes filter it. It depends on I have to prioritize in my head and say to myself, is it really important that I say it or I do that? Yeah. However, when I'm tired and I'm irritable, no, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Because I've been brought up in such a way that, you know, some things that I feel quite passionate about, for example, respect. So I was very much told to respect your elders. As much as, you know, when people say, you know, children seen and not heard, I don't like that.
Yeah.
But there are things that I really, it boils my pee-pee, if I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah, well, you are. But the thing is, though, I mean, the people, we are in the front line, we are leading the pack. Usually the enemy, they've got their aim on you first. It doesn't usually bode well at times. We go down in flames.
No. It's ones where, you know, where you people say, well, you shouldn't say those kind of things. I ask the question of why. Why shouldn't I say that? I've got every right to. And just because they don't want to, why shouldn't I? And I think if it's really important to you, then do it. See, there's a way of saying things, but I do impulsively lose my my stuff and say things I probably shouldn't, and then I have to apologize for saying it like that. But
that's the way
exactly.
we're built. You know,
exactly.
As soon as people understand it, again, as you say, we can't use it as an excuse, but there is an underlying reason why.
Exactly. There's always going to be people that will label, that will say something because they can't be bothered to acknowledge the actual truth. And that will be about everything and anything. But I think when it becomes so personal that it's affecting your life and maybe other people that you care about, that's when I think that those people need to be spoken to. And it may be the delivery, it may be that they didn't quite understand that. So sometimes I do think people use things as a joke, but that is to cover up their own insecurity, their own kind of lack of acknowledgement. And I think, well, do you know what? That's fine, but you still need to know how you're impacting on that person's life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm learning that every day. You know, I am by no far, you know, means perfect in any stretch of the imagination. I'm just trying to learn from my mistakes and, you know, pass that skill, if you like, and understanding onto other people. And if I can, fantastic. I'm learning from other people. I really am. And I think at the end of the day, we all have to learn from each other.
Sure.
That sounds really corny, but it's if you're not learning every day and you're not learning about yourself, especially about your ADHD. ADHD is such a complex subject. And obviously all the other things that come with that,
yep.
You've got to know how it affects you. not just how it affects other people. Get to know what your triggers are, get to know what your niche is, and what makes you happy. So that's something that is a hard thing to do, because I'm very stubborn. And you know, somebody will say to me, can you do this, can you do that? I don't want to, but then I have to do it later.
But Scott, I'm getting that feeling again. It's a round of applause. I like what you say. That was very good.
And, I'm a hypocrite.
No. You know, sometimes we do things that we all regret, and even the normal people do that, and we just have to accept it and deal with it and react accordingly. But at times, we can't live our lives thinking, okay, what if? There's got to be some free form in there. I mean, it's about conditioning, and yeah, it's more difficult for us than the average bear. However, you know, to say, well, that's because of my ADHD, I say to those people, well, okay, so what are you doing about it? Somebody put it best by saying that ADHD is work. It's always a work in progress.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's one thing I've learned. I mean, when I first got diagnosed, I was saying, look, I've got ADHD, therefore I can do this, I can say that, and I can behave that way.
Yeah.
It's obviously not the case. It's, you know, I don't mind saying it's a label, but I don't like it when people say, well, I've got this and I've got that. Well, again, like you said, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to find a coping mechanism? Are you going to find a strategy to make that better for yourself? Are you going to do an X, Y, Z? So, yeah, I have done that myself, admittedly.
Me too.
And I think it depends on who's around you, their delivery, their approach, you know, what their means are. You know, are they doing it for themselves? Are they doing it because they want to help you? And you start realizing, you start learning what works for you. I mean, for example, I take my tablet in the morning and I will literally have a shower. I have the same sort of routine every day at the moment. I will then go and have to make a cup of coffee, make some toast, and I'll sit down on my laptop or play on my phone and do all my social media stuff. And that, in its way, will sort of burn out a little bit of my mind. And then I'll try and go into the next part. But even yesterday, Russ, I'll be honest, I was in a bit of a low mood. I was missing my little boy because of the lockdown. I can see him, but I was showing some of the symptoms. So I had to be self-isolation for 14 days, which, you know, 2 weeks without seeing my little boy. Sure. I've been doing FaceTime, and we've got a game called Roblox that we play, which is brilliant. So it is self-discipline. However, I know how hard that is, because, like I said, I can motivate the best of them. Can I motivate myself?
Yeah, no. We make the best. We make the best coaches, but not too good at the player aspect of it.
Exactly. Oh my God! How many times have I told someone, "Well, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that?" And then it comes to me. I'm like, "Okay, I get what you mean. I can't do it either."
Yeah, exactly.
It's about being okay with that.
Yes. That's the thing. It can eat you up inside that if you're not okay with it and you're not you're not your biggest fan. And many of us in ADHDville, or whatever you want to call it, in our club here, are our worst enemies. We don't root for us. We root for other people.
Precisely. And I think it's one of those things that if you don't, if you're not nice to yourself, if you don't look at all those things that you're amazing at, but we all criticize each other. We all look at the things that you could have done this and you should have said this or should have done that. We look at ourselves and go, well, I still do it. And that's why I sometimes don't finish the projects, because I'm looking at it and going, wish I could do that better. Or I look at someone else's work or video. I think, I wish I want to do that, but I don't do it. So, it is about being, mindful. Which again is it's like a habit, isn't it? You have to learn a habit, learn a habit to be nice. I think anybody should do that.
And nice to us, to us the individual, right? Because if you're
absolutely,
if you're wallowing, you know what that breeds in my mind? It breeds pity. Negative.
Pity. Yeah, totally.
Who wants that, huh? Help are two different things.
Exactly. And I think that's the one thing, is if you can say, look, I'm struggling, I'm not sure how to do this, or I don't know, I feel this way, reach out. Because the one thing, what you're going to do, you're going to sit there, and we've all been there. We can't get out of our own minds.
Yeah.
And you need that person or people to go, look, you're okay. You're actually absolutely a really cool guy or a really cool person. It is easy. It's so easy to fall into that trap. Especially, I think with people that have ADHD and inattentive, especially, yeah. We don't know that we're doing it. People that are hyperactive, my hyperactivity is internal. I'm not physically jumping around the room, unlike who was earlier. But he's got that energy. I had that energy as a teenager, as a little boy, and my mum just could not cope with that. The things that people say to ADHD is, there's a long list of them, but there's one thing that really doesn't boil my pee-pee. But, you know, when people say, don't let me forget, or can you remind me tomorrow? And I'm like, yeah. You're asking the wrong person. Yeah. I have to set myself a reminder. So my new partner, Lisa, she constantly does it. And I sometimes say to her, you've got a reminder. Use it.
yeah. I when it comes to reminding, I forget to remind. If that,
exactly,
you know what I mean,
and right? Then the reminder comes up on your screen. You're doing something else that's more interesting. So what do? You ignore it, and then it comes up. Oh, forgot. Oops.
Well, Scott, in my book, you're okay, and you're a cool guy, and I'm going to give you another round of applause.
Oh, I want to give you a round of applause, Churchill. Yeah.
Scott, thank you very much. We have to keep in touch and keep doing what you're doing and hang in there. We will all survive, whether it be a pandemic or ADHD or whatever.
ADHD pandemic.
Yeah.
Bless you. Thank you so much for asking me to come back on. It's been a pleasure. Absolute pleasure.
And once again, a special thank you going out to Scott Laddie for joining us here on Club ADHD. Not once, but twice. And yes, we'll get him back. And for all his work when it comes to ADHD assistance and awareness. And if you'd like to check in with Scott, here's a good way to do it. Hop on Twitter and type in respect ADHD at Scott with two T's _ creator. Well, we're about to wrap things up here on Club ADHD, the podcast. Once again, a special thank you going out to the folks at CADAC. That's the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Please visit their website. You won't regret it. That's CADAC, CADDAC.ca. And a special thank you going out to you for listening in and for participating in our other elements of Club ADHD, the Facebook and the Twitter account, and for links to them, as well as a complete list of all our episodes here on Club ADHD, the podcast, visit our webpage, clubadhd.ca. If you'd like to drop me a line, you can do that too. The link is on that webpage again. That's clubadhd.ca. Well, life goes on. Just hang in there. Yeah, it's a wild ride, but aren't we used to that sort of thing, huh? Just hang in there. And yes, we are behind the eight ball when it comes to the podcast. I laugh because, hey, what else is new? We'll try to get a new one up maybe in a week's time. Fingers crossed. This is your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, saying to you, please, whenever you can, wherever you can, say it loud, say it proud. ADHD is real. Bye for now.